is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Yeah, J1160 AM, the voice right out of here, Teaneck in Jersey, Bergen County. Shoot up to Rockland County, Westchester County, out there all the way at Burroughs. It's been riding really today because my studio guest is a concierge. Before we go, Chest, if you want, you know how every time I past week's logs that I've seen, maybe could be important to you. And so, it's been actually active in some fires and flurry, busy on a professional day job. But some of the things I've come across is a homeowner, and both fire, one was a and individuals. But really caught at a disadvantage when these disasters struck their lives and their businesses and such, and they were overwhelmed. And you see, you get onto the scene, you see, you know, the first responders, they're all gone at this. You have some, you know, municipal people or city people, whichever. One was in Jersey, one was in New York, so I had city people obviously in New York and Jersey people over here. But you know, there's just so much information being thrown at them that their head is spinning, and you see that deer in the eyes, head look thing, whatever, however that phrase goes. I'm not good at regurgitating phrases. But the business owner, like I said, smart guy. Now he's going to be losing rent because he owns his commercial space, and there's three tenants, and now they're gone. And it was really eye-opening that I just had a couple of really 101 insurance type of questions. And again, he was still kind of in shock. But he didn't really have the answers, and so I backed off and let him catch his breath. And I said, "Listen, here's my card. You know, you got all these people hanging around. And on top of it, he's got people with you know, listening to fire scanners. You know, the police scanners. You know, hounding him, giving him cards. You know, let me board up your building. I'll safe you off, and I can clean. I know the insurance company to sign this paperwork. Don't ever do that, people. Don't ever do that." Just, you know, you got it. That's when you're at your most vulnerable, is when these disasters happen. So you should really try to catch yourself and slow it down, you know, shift down, and try at least. You know, I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult because I've seen it thousands of times. But this person, you know, business interruption, we've talked about it. So, you know, it's one of the mainstays of the ACP, about having contingency plans and continuity plans. And Andy and I will be talking about that. Andy and I are going to be talking about a lot of stuff. We're going to kick this ball around in this room today pretty good. But it was eye-opening for him to say, you know what, I thought I was prepared, but I'm not. There's a lot of little things you really kind of got to jot down as a business owner, which also translates right over into the homeowner, because as the business owner, he didn't think about lost wages, but he also didn't think about, you know, the time it takes for an investigation on a fire, and is it structurally sound? And these things, you know, they don't, not so much they drag on, because there's a lot of these things going on out there. It's just that, you know, people, you know, it's my disaster, help me, do me now, yada yada yada, and it's just not that way. And you know, then, you know, so like I said, with my other numerous guests I've had, we talked about that psychological issue of having a disaster. It comes in a couple of stages, and I'm not going to go into it, but as much as that frustration, then there's the anger, and then yada 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 yada, all right, all the way down the line. So you should really, you know, the weather's been good. You know, there's been less incidences. That obviously there's no pipes. There's not many pipes being busted through freezing. Let's put it that way. At least in our region, not as many fire calls. There's smaller ones that are going on, but not the big blazes that you usually see. And you know, from my experience, you know, I'm not a first responder, and you know, some of my captains and lieutenants would tell me different. It doesn't matter what time of year it is, and I believe that. It might be a good time to say, you know, what does my coverage look like? And you know, really call your agent, call your broker. It's, you know, I'm advocating that, because you don't really want to meet me personally. I mean, professionally, you want to meet me personally. So, or a guy who does what I do for a living, you know, emergency services, disaster recovery, that kind of stuff. So that's like the business side, you know, because again, usually smart people are in business, and, you know, they generally have a good plan in place, but you should really dissect it, you know, create a scenario for your broker and say, you know, what if this happened? What is covered? What is not covered? Now, let's go shoot over into the personal side with what we call in the insurance world with the personal lines. There was a major flood, and in discovery of taking out the debris and the non-salvageable building components, there's, you know, there's electrical issues and there's phone lines and things like that that are all kind of like a rat's nest up inside these drop ceilings. That, you know, across the county, there's plenty of finished basements with drop ceilings. So, you know, electricians and phone guys, they just kind of snake it along and then really tack it into anything, and it's usually kind of messy. And but the question that she had for me was, you know, well, does that look compromised? I said, well, no, you got to get a professional electrician here and let him take a look at this stuff. And but now we're at a kind of a standstill because we need to know if this is an upgradable, payable situation for the insurance company. And I'm not here to spend the insurance company's money. That's not the point. But however, does it need to be safe? That's the key. And you know, it's in some policies, it's not in others, and you really need to take a look at that kind of stuff. You know, do you have the riders, or is your policy written into such a way that if something happens that you can't see behind the walls, will it be upgraded? Will it be paid for? Because God forbid you have to shell out the thousands of dollars worth of electrical work. It's electricians, you know, they're licensed, they're professionals, and you know, they need to cross their T's and dot their I's. There's no that you can do electrical work half, you know what, if you will, but you know, most electricians are reputable guys, and they like to do the right thing, and they like to pull permits, you know, get everybody on board, because you don't want to do shoddy work behind the scenes, because again, it's life and safety here. So that's my spiel for this past week, what I've experienced, and I thought I could regurgitate that to you guys and see if you know, we might you know, light bulb goes off here or there. You know, one or two light bulbs is a good thing. Maybe we'll, you know what, I think we'll 10 after, we'll go to a break and we'll pick up our first guest. We got Andy, you know, Andy from many shows, and also I always talk about him. So we were going to go to a break, but Dave's not in the booth, so oh, there he is. Well, so let's go to a break. We'll be right back. Disaster Recovery Hour.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
The first time that we saw combat as a unit, it was more surreal than anything.
Retired Staff Sergeant Dan Nevins.
You're under fire, you're getting blown up, there's definitely adrenaline. There was the explosion, and I remember just opening my eyes, and it got both of my legs. I had surgery after surgery, and I was on a lot of pain medicine. What's going to happen next, and how long am I going to be here? The Wounded Warrior Project dropped off a backpack for me, and it had everything in there that I could possibly have needed at that time. Peer visitors, people who have been where I had been before, said, look, brother, everything's going to be okay. 3 months from now, 4 months from now, a year from now, you'll be fine. That type of thing is an invaluable service. To be honest, I don't know if I would be as well adjusted as I am now if it wasn't for them.
To learn more, call 1-877-832-6997 or visit woundedwarriorproject.org.
Hey, when we're back, I gotta get a new tag for that after coming back from a break. Hey, we're back. I gotta get something. Maybe you guys can go on the comments page. That's drhradio.net. 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 And maybe I got a new tag. Someone give me a new tag out there I can say. One thing that I was all wrapped up with my last week's experience or this past week's experience, but last week's show, Raquel Wolf from the Office of Emergency Management out there in Nassau County. That was a great show. She was standing in for the chief out there, Craig J. Kraft, who is the commissioner of the OEM out in Nassau County, and she stood in quite nicely. She hit the cycle, singles, doubles, and triples last week. It was fantastic. Lots of information. We had some information that she gave us that we put up on our website. It was very, very cool. And we had a lot of traffic on the comments page with accolades to her for her intel, and also questions for her. So again, that's what I love about the show is when you can get a new kind of twist, but a different angle of information that you can make it in appetizing for people to get on the comments page. That was very cool. One other thing is, I'll save that for the end of the show. It's something I just experienced at my own home a couple days ago. So thanks, Rachel, Raquel. Okay. I said Rachel. God, I see you did it again, Andy. I have two guests. I have Arthur Fuller, who was on a couple of weeks ago. Arthur Fuller is the president of the ACP, the Metro chapter down in D.C. He is a contingency planner. He's CERT. He's got so many initials at the end of his name. I could stay the whole show with that. Arthur, you there?
I am, Chris. Thanks for having me back.
I'm glad. Now, Arthur and I talked just after the show a couple of weeks ago. He said, I wanted to mention something. So that's what we're gonna take a couple of minutes. Arthur was good enough to take some minutes out of his day to talk about that. In the studio, I have Andy Weitzberg. He's the president of the Long Island chapter of ACP. Now, we're going to tie some things in. It's going to be very cool today. But Arthur, you were talking about Homeland Security and these grants. I know that's what you wanted to talk about with two other bullet points. Arthur, Andy. Arthur, say hello.
Hi, guys. Hi,
Hi, Andy.
These guys know each other from the Florida convention, what was that, 2 months ago? A month and a half ago?
Month ago.
Month ago.
Yeah.
Arthur, tell me about that, because I thought that was very interesting, and you're right. We need to get that kind of information out about the Homeland Security. And was it a grant, or were they just allocating dollars for small business? Tell me about that.
Well, what I wanted to share with you was that the Homeland Security awarded a grant to the University of the District of Columbia to put together a course. And this course is titled Legal Issues and Disasters and Things You Should Know. And it's funded through that grant, and it was awarded to the University of the District of Columbia. And they offer the class to local governments, territorial and tribal governments, state governments, emergency managers and planners. The course is free.
Everybody likes free.
Exactly. And the goal of the course is to enhance the abilities of these different entities to identify potential legal issues. We all want to go out and help, but as you know, we live in a society where a lot of legal issues arise, and this helps to identify those potential legal issues. So you not only help, but you help yourself thwart any possible actions against yourself. And these courses are free. They're taught by University of the District of Columbia around the country. And if I'm not mistaken, these courses will be available up until September. I believe that's when the grant runs out.
Excellent.
What
I would suggest would be for someone to just Google Legal Issues and Disasters and UDC, which is the University of the District of Columbia, or send an email to the national director. Her name is Angeline Flowers.
Email me that too.
I will. And it's aflowers@udc.edu. She just participated in a webinar on emforum.org, so her information is there on EM Forum. And she talks about the program. There's a PowerPoint, there are transcripts, there's a podcast. So that information can be gathered, you know, online or personally through her.
Yeah, it was one of the questions I had for Raquel last week was, you know, you know, as first responders, whether it's and then also the certs and the volunteer organizations, you know, they come upon a scene and they're coordinated to do certain things. But us as, you know, regular citizens, they think that the government, they're able to do all these things for us. But legally, they're not. I mean, there's some restrictions. And evidently, that would cross this program would assist these people in knowing the pitfalls in case they stepped over the line.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The other week, we also talked about public-private partnerships. And one that I found very well put together and very helpful is a website. It's called preparemybusiness.org, and it's a co-sponsorship with Agility and SBA, Small Business Administration. And this website provides planning and testing guidance along with templates, and it has an educational component where each month Prepare My Business hosts educational webinars, and today's webinar is on crisis communication. And in March, they have something that's very interesting, and that's social media and disaster recovery.
Go on, Andy.
Definitely a hot subject with a lot of debate with the social media in the disaster.
Yeah, that is. There was a pros and cons. Was it in the news the other day about that? Right, the city was getting involved, but there's some pitfalls to it. And Arthur, now down in your region, you're talking about heavily dominated with private and public. What's the traction with the social media down there?
I think the jury's still out on it. I believe, as I mentioned before, with Think Tank, with FEMA, it's somewhat of a social media platform. You could get users and you get instant information sharing, and it's more of a blogging kind of platform. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, that's kind of a social media, but it doesn't have the kind of corporate tag on it. I believe that to reach majority of our population these days is through text and through blogs. We see that with news, and it's really about getting information out. And just like anything, you have to use it responsibly and understand the benefits and disadvantages of it.
Arthur, this is Andy. Yeah, very, very, very true. I know one of the debates has been about the timeliness, because sometimes, and this is one of the things we have to be careful of, sometimes there's a lag in there, not purposely, but just because of the technologies. It may take a couple of seconds or a minute or two or a couple of minutes. There's queuing that we have to deal with. So these are all the things that we all look at when we talk about using social media. But absolutely, it's another tool in the toolbox.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, Arthur, with the SBA, you know what, everyone gets a little spooked about the SBA because it's always loans and grants, and you got to collateral and things. I think we had a show on it, but what your Andy's waving to me. I think he wants to hit me, but no. Andy wants to comment on that one.
Well, Rick Gimble just came to me and said that he just got word of grants that are available to the business community in his town. Who were affected by Irene. And there are grants, not loans, but grants available for up to $20,000. And that was a surprise. That's the first time I've heard of them doing that. And that was great to hear, because that's unheard of previously.
Yeah, absolutely. And preparemybusiness.org, not only does it have the planning and education and testing components, but it also has information in regard to disaster assistance, because the Small Business Administration, they want businesses to continue, they want them to thrive, and they recognize the importance of having continuity plans in place.
Yeah, I mean, you know, let's call it the bottom line is, They want you up and running because they want the tax money, and that's good. So, but it's beneficial.
And the jobs.
Yeah. Well, the government would think that, and then, but we want to talk about the jobs. You know, a plant of 100 people, that's 100 people. You know, like with the big Elizabeth fire that we had, that went on for a week and change with the, over the holidays. You know, there was, you know, a couple hundred people out of work with different businesses inside that building. But, you know, there might be some responsible business owners who are going to pay them maybe a month's worth of salary, but they're out of a job.
Exactly. And that's the problem. That's a big part of what you're concerned about in a continuity plan for a small, medium-sized business.
You know, it's the same thing with the personal lines with people out of their homes with the out of living expense. You know, do they have enough to live out of their home while it's being rehabbed or it's still under investigation? And again, more questions that need to be asked as a policy owner. You know, I advocate that again because you know when coming to meet me and you want a smooth transition. You don't, you know, it's like, oh, I didn't ask that question or I don't have coverage for that. That goes right across to with ACP and what you guys are constantly getting the message out, and the government wants the message out there too.
Absolutely, and again, it kind of points toward that personal preparedness, and the question that comes to my mind is how do we really impress upon individuals to focus on personal preparedness, and when you get the individuals to think about personal preparedness, they go into the workplace thinking about it as well.
Right.
Totally with you on that one, Arthur. I mean, we talk about that all the time in our chapter as well as yours, and I know ACP promotes it in all the chapters. Because it always spills over. It's education, education, education of this.
Right. You know, acp-international.com is the website. That's acp-international.com. Now, we have listeners throughout the country, and we got a couple people listening through live listen on the computer in other countries. And they can, you know, again, you can look at the acp-international.com. That's their website. It's on our website. It's a link. And our website, obviously, that most of you people know, the listeners, drhradio.net. That is drhradio.net. And the comments page is always up, even if the show's not on. We do have the repeat broadcast on Saturdays. We're looking at another slot that looking kind of opportunistic with getting into another day here with the Disaster Recovery Hour. Arthur, I'm glad. I know last week we got a little busy when we wanted to do this follow-up to keep it really fresh. But that grant is very cool. Now, is there any websites I need to, besides the stuff that you just gave us, should I put up on our website so people can take a link to?
I'll try to find a link directly to it. The main link that I found has been the press release that was released on the 12th of January.
Okay, cool. Cool. Arthur, I appreciate you taking time, and hopefully the way ACP is growing, you know, through the newsletters, and we're on their website, they're on our website, that people can join. It's you know, the guy who owns a pizzeria to the guy who owns the big supermarket, you know, they're all part of it. Size doesn't matter with that, does it, Andy?
No, not at all.
You know, I mean, it's all part of the you know, the American dream, if you will, owning your own business, if that's the dream you have. Arthur, I appreciate you, like I said, taking a couple minutes out of your day, a couple minutes before the bottom of the hour. Arthur?
Andy, Chris, thank you very much.
My pleasure. And keep me up to date with what's happening in your region, because I went down to the last one when I had Jessica Cipressat, who was a guest on the show, and so I was down to the Metro one, and I plan on going to visit some other chapters. Andy's going to be putting together a promotional thing, if you will, so we want to get this thing up and running across the country to boot. Arthur, take care of yourself, all right? We'll see you soon.
Be well, Arthur.
Goodbye.
You know, before we, I don't know, are we doing it? Well, we're gonna rock. We're going to go for the break, pay a couple bills, and we'll be a wrap. DRHradio.net. That's it.
When does disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. Service Master Restoration by CPP is the answer. Service Master Restoration by CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, our seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition.
Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next?
Fire, smoke, water, or mold, Service Master Restoration by CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. To reach Service Master Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. Service Master Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
I'll never forget that moment.
Never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
It started with a phone call.
I got the text when I was at work.
My first call up ever as a member of the National Guard. This was it, the real deal.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires, how they were getting dangerously close to homes.
It was amazing to be a part of this massive operation. Helicopters were going up with huge buckets to drop water on the fires.
Some of the guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
We went out in Humvees to help with the evacuations.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com. Discover what it means to be a citizen soldier, to serve locally as well as globally. Look into the benefits including career skills and money for college. Take a moment. Go to NationalGuard.com today.
Sponsored by the New Jersey National Guard, aired by the New Jersey Broadcasters Association and this station.
Katie Valentine's UFO show. Watching strange visitors that come and go. The UFO show with Katie Valentine. We're gonna travel through space and rocket through time. Exploring what is possible, examine what is logical. Could we really be here all alone?
Are we really out here all alone? Find out on the UFO show with Kate Valentine, Friday afternoons at 1 on WVNJ.
For every soldier who served in Vietnam, there is a story. There are stories of suffering and strength, courage and self-sacrifice. But as time takes its toll on the surviving veterans, many of these stories could be lost forever. The Education Center at the Wall will preserve and display photos, letters, and memories of veterans, so their stories and service will never be forgotten. Visit buildthecenter.org and help us build it.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
All right, I'm still waiting. We're back. I'm still waiting for somebody to tell me what I should say when I come back from the commercial. DRHradio.net is the website. Go on the comments page. Give us what you want to talk about or questions for Andy or Arthur or last week with Raquel or even previous shows. I'm and the show is very fortunate to have a lot of experts in different fields come on the program and talk about what they think should be done and help us as business owners, as homeowners, even apartment buildings. We've talked about with the chief for 2nd Battalion and FDNY, you know, about apartment buildings and the community of that. There's just a lot of intel out there that could be that I want to use this show as an avenue to get it out there, and it's been fun. It's really been a lot of fun, and it's going to continue to be fun. Returning, and we have as you know, if you're still listening, if you're just joining us, Andy Weitzberg is in from Long Island, that way way far away land. He is the president of the ACP chapter in Long Island. Arthur just hung up with us, and he's the president down there in D.C. Andy, we had the conference. ACP members were on there, over 3,000, but you know, there's over 3,000 members. We have 44 almost branches.
2,600 members now, paid members.
Paid members. So
that's good.
You know, everybody's got so many. You know, I always said, you know, it used to be 5 pounds in a 3 pound bag. Nowadays, you know, especially in our region, which is hectic, it's 10 pounds and 3 pounds in a 3 pound bag. The ACP is such a valuable tool for businesses. And at the break, we were talking to, you know, a small mom and pop shoe store who's wedged in between two restaurants. You know, and the guy's, and, you know, he's talking to Andy, saying, you know, what do you want from me? You know,
what this? And I said, what happens if the restaurants have a problem? And he looked at me and said, oh, again, it's not my just your little world. I had another gentleman who was a speaker in my last meeting, who's in the human resources business, and I had to explain to him why continuity planning was important, because human resources, the employee, the most important parts of a business. It's not just not the machines building, it's the employees, because without them, the machines in the building don't run. And he came up with some great examples of where there were problems within the employees. A major restaurant where a couple of the employees started to skim credit card numbers from customers, and what it did to the reputation of the restaurant that they had to recover. That's a disaster. Anything that interrupts your normal course of business.
Yeah, now, that's a real legal wrangling, right? How do you put a dollar figure to your reputation? It's like, I guess, having a cockroach run across your plate of spaghetti or something.
Absolutely.
But you know what? Those are real tangible things.
In the city of New York, the fight over having the A, B's, and C's on the restaurants.
Right.
And, you know, the restaurant saying, well, if I have a C, people won't show up. And you're ruining my reputation. And they say, on that day, you had X amount of things that didn't meet our standards.
Right.
So it's...
That's pretty dicey.
These are things you have to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a business no longer sits in a cocoon and sits by itself.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's what the government is. You know, there's the affiliation of, there are some government officials that that are part of the ACP as members, and they bring in that different perspective on the public side to mesh with the private side. Mm-hmm. And they're advocates of the ACP. They, you know, because again, there's only so many resources, and I've said it 1,000 times, there's only so much resources the government has to help us out.
You may not be aware of this, Chris, but there are a lot of...
I'm aware of everything, Andy.
Okay.
All right.
A lot of laws and regulations in various industries that state that a business is supposed to have a continuity plan. Sarbanes-Oxley has a requirement. HIPAA has a requirement. I bet you didn't know that OSHA had a requirement for any business with 15 or more employees requires a continuity plan. Because there's no other way to protect your business,
right?
Unless you have a plan.
Well, you're with the OSHA. I mean, you have X amount of employees. You have safety meetings that you're supposed to have.
But,
you know, it's the same. It's really the same thing, but it's just a book form, if you will.
No, it's part of the, not only the safety, which is one issue, but it is also the continuation of the business.
Right. No. That's what I mean. I mean, you're showing a guy how to, you know, work up, go up and down a ladder.
Right.
But the other side is, okay, the IT side, you know, the IT side's been discussed since, Y2K, right? That's
Or before.
And we'll talk about that cloud thing. I'm really curious about that cloud, because that is starting to get into the insurance world. And how do you insure that? What kind of dollar figures are there? But getting down in Tampa, I got so many questions in my head. That's why I'm doing my hands going on right now. So, but down in Tampa, you know, with the ACP, what was our? I mean, I know what it was, but. Since you were boots on the ground, what were we trying to achieve for this?
I think one of the things that it got achieved very well in Tampa was it gave a group of presidents, and there were probably about 30 presidents there. It gave us a chance to network, to talk to each other, to share ideas, share what our chapters have been doing, share some of our successes and some of our failures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unfortunately, we all run anywhere from 6 to 12 programs a year, and not every program is a success.
Right.
So you want to find out, what are the successes? What are people asking? Our chapter last year ran a whole bunch of meetings and teaching people about a basic plan. and it was very successful. Several chapters have asked us for the outlines, which we're happy to share with them so that they can also help their members look at this and break it down to its various points.
You know, the concerns of a member in, you know, somewhere outside 50, 60 miles outside Chicago, which is pretty much the farm belt as you start to move into that, his concerns as an ACP president and his members are different than, you know, the Long Island chapter, well, you know? So, I mean, that's what I like about everybody.
Yeah, I don't know together. I'll disagree with you in respect that.
We can't have that.
I don't know if their concerns are different. Some of the weather conditions and other things that they face are slightly different. Like, we do not usually get tornadoes in Long Island, though we've had a couple in the last few years.
Except for Staten Island, they always get the boot.
Staten Island and Brooklyn basically have gotten hit in the last few years. And I have a son that's actually a storm chaser. God only knows why.
He was running from you originally.
Probably. But they have tornadoes. But in Chicago, they don't have hurricanes. They don't have nor'easters.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They have gigantic, they can have lake effect snowstorms that fortunately down in Long Island, we don't get too often. Mm-hmm. But in Buffalo and Rochester, Syracuse, they get multiple feet of snow, though this year they're having a disaster and not having it.
Right, yeah, they usually get pounded, right.
It's not just the disaster, it's just the continuation of your operation.
Right.
And to me, a disaster is anything that interrupts the normal course of business. By the way, the most common failure is a failure of the telephone or the power. It's probably the most normal failure that most businesses will experience during some time.
Some of our experts, especially Dan from Power Systems, Dan O'Brien, you know, we're taxing our electrical grid beyond belief, like 60-70% is what it can actually hold. But when Jerry Giesinger, who's my guru down there in Service Master Disaster Academy, you know, what we saw this past spring with with the flooding of the Mississippi, you know, we see it on TV and say, oh, wow, that really stinks for those people down there. But that has a direct effect on supplies and goods for up here.
You know, absolutely.
And how do you as a whatever you make in the widget, someone do the old college widget thing. You need supplies or you need raw materials from that area. And
it happened there. It happened from Japan. Yeah. It happened from the Ford Motor Company had two colors. I think it was black and red that they couldn't produce in trucks
because
the pigments came from Japan.
Right, right.
And by the way, in those floods in Memphis. In the Memphis area, 400 small businesses were flooded out. Probably most of them never to reopen again.
Right. Well, the statistics
God knows how many jobs that was.
Right. One in four, they say, after a disaster, don't respond, don't come back. And that's huge, huge money, huge money. And people on the street looking for jobs. So we got a question from Dave. Thanks, Dave. Do insurance companies offer discounts on premiums to companies that have contingency plans in place? What's your experience with that, Andy?
For the most part, in the small to medium-sized businesses, the answer is no. But I recently was sitting at a seminar talking to an insurance underwriter from a major company who said for their very large clients, they are looking to see what their contingency plans are. They take it as part of the underwriting consideration.
Mm-hmm.
And there the rates are a little less set in stone. They have some flexibility, experience flexibility that they can use. And a contingency plan will absolutely affect the rates for the very large customers. But unfortunately for small to medium-sized businesses, no. But it may keep you from having to carry as much business interruption insurance as you would if you didn't have it, or at least get paid for your business interruption insurance because you had the plan.
You know, it's kind of doesn't really make sense to me, because if you have a vehicle, I got a vehicle from Ford. Okay, I have a loan. I'm supposed to have insurance. You have to drive with insurance, right? In case something happens. It should be the same thing for you know, if you have insurance in your business, if you have a plan in place, just like being a responsible driver, your rates are lower, you should.
Chris, you've heard the term for small business people that you should have a business plan. Do you know that nowhere does anybody recommend to those people when they're creating their business plan to have a continuity plan?
Right.
Which is a shame, and I keep saying, how are you going to protect this if you don't have a continuity plan?
We're rocking. You don't need to point at my screen, Andy.
I see Gary. Gary's asking a question about where do we get a basic idea of a plan.
Stop that. Stop taking over my show.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. No. You don't want
ready.gov.
It says, okay.
And the SBA.
Gary's question is, you mentioned an online plan. Where might I get this? And the question is?
And ready.gov, SBA, there are some outlines for basic plan to get you started, you know, and there are ACP chapters. You can check with any ACP chapter. If you're starting to do this and you have a question, they're usually more than happy to answer a particular question.
That's you know, just like the ACP, the SBA, there's a lot of retired gentlemen and women that are
score.
There for score. Exactly. Score. And, not score people. Don't think about that. But score is helpful for business owners and starting out. You know, it's funny, but my old man, my father said, he's moving back to the country, and my brother and we were talking about formulating this something, a business of some sort. And he said, do you have a business plan? You know, the old banker in him was like, you have a business plan. But that I can guarantee the old man doesn't know anything about contingency planning. You know, we're going to have to go to a commercial break. I got a ton of questions. Shelly, Lori, and there's Jerry. We'll go to a break. We'll be right back.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
The American Legion. We're a powerful force for the nation. We're the largest organization of wartime veterans in the nation. We've served America in uniform, and we continue to serve through our membership in the American Legion. We're patriots through and through. We believe in our flag and what it stands for. Our Constitution, our Pledge of Allegiance, our way of life are all fundamental to maintaining our freedom and the standing we have as the greatest country on earth. We promote and defend these values every day in communities across the nation. We're at the forefront to protect our flag from acts of desecration. We have many programs that teach our youth about the rights and responsibilities of citizenship and what a gift it is to be an American. And you can find us marching down main streets in small towns and big cities all across America, showing our support and pride for our veterans and their families. Go to legion.org to find out more about the American Legion's commitment of service to America.
At least one in four businesses affected by a disaster never reopened. Let me repeat. At least one in four businesses affected by a disaster, whether it's man-made or natural, never reopened. Yet far too many business owners put off their company's disaster.
You have 5 new messages.
Can you sign it for me, please?
Don't forget those copies for the presentation.
Disaster plan because they let too many day-to-day things get in the way.
Is that 3 p.m. going to be all right with your schedule?
Hey, don't forget that stand proposals due.
Be in the conference room in 5 minutes, please.
To save your messages, press 1.
Received dispatch, truck 47 en route to 614 North Front Street.
Received. Be advised, truck 47, heavy fire showing from the 9th floor. Second alarm being dispatched at this time.
Disasters are unpredictable, but when you have a plan in place, you can better adapt, recover, and stay in control. So don't wait. Visit ready.gov to make your company's disaster plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
There's the finger from Dave. That means we're back. I don't have any time to be a smartass today, so I'm just going to go. Oops, I guess I shouldn't have said that on the air. So we just got to roll. We got the next question for us, and including Andy, who's got a plethora of information, is Lori, where can we go to get this knowledge or info to determine what will work for us as individuals to become more prepared?
Ready.gov, again, has that information. Red Cross has that information. There are a plethora of sites to do that.
And also, you know what, your local municipality or your police, fire, departments,
emergency management,
your OEM guys.
Happy to provide information to
without a doubt. Those guys love to give out info because they don't want to come to your house and see a mishap. Believe me, they really, really don't. There is our other super duper, like multi-hatty person. Shelley Lee Johnson's got a question for Andy. Are there small business types that are more vulnerable than others to minor disasters? What do you think about that, Andy? Shelley, thank you very much, and hello. How are you doing?
Small businesses are—I don't know if they're more vulnerable, but they're always vulnerable because the small business is basically is the value of the assets of the small business person. It's where they get their income from, so it's probably their sole income in most cases. So they're very vulnerable to a disaster that interrupts their income.
Shelley, thank you very much. We'll just keep on rolling. We got from John B. Does an employee have the right to know if the company they work for has a plan? For me, it's just as if the employer trying to hire you says, "Hey, listen, do you have a driver's license? Can you get to work every day?" I would say it's a logical question.
I don't know if you have the right. I just hope that if you work for a company that you're included as a member, as an employee of the company in the plan, so you know what your responsibilities are. Mm-hmm. But you can certainly ask your director of safety if you have a contingency planner, if it's a contingency planner or a director of safety or the IT manager or human resources department. They can probably answer that question best.
Yeah, I would say the HR department would, because that's there's a lot of legal ramifications with that type of question. And but I no harm in asking, though, that's for sure. Guys coming up knocking your door, take your daughter out to the movies, you got a right to ask.
Absolutely.
So, and that's not going to happen with my daughter because no one's knocking on my door. where are we at? Where the next question we have is from Lori, and we kind of answered this already, but I'll add to it, and Andy's going to also add to it. So, where do I find the ABCs of contingency planning? That's question one, and second part is where are the lists of these contingency planning chapters? Well, the chapters, I can answer that one. That's the acp-international.com, and that will give you all the chapters. And also, that's international, so it's over in the UK also, right?
No, that's BCI, which is an affiliated organization.
Right. In case you, you're a globetrotter or whatever, or in the financial world, you go back and forth New York to London to do your brokering or whatever. But, Danny, where do you find the ABCs of contingency planning? Is it a Google, there's the ready.gov?
You can Google. I mean, the ready.gov has some basics in there. You can Google it. You can. There are tons and tons of. Yeah. You can buy a book too.
buy a book, not which
or download a book.
Really download a what is the Kindle and whatever my dad's
yes my the Kindle or the iPad.
You know, but you know, books are about as just like reading a map, and we were talking about before about GPS. You know, those GPS goes, you know, people don't know how to read maps. This is kind of funny, but you know what? There's going to be a time when it's going to be boop, the grid's down, and you're going to have to go back to the old times and actually read something. So that's really kind of funny because that's really kind of a preparedness thing. It really is.
Absolutely.
How do you read a map? My brother-in-law refuses to even get a GPS.
It's like making sure you have a flashlight available with batteries.
It is that simple. And again, you know, your daily life, you can get wrapped up with stuff, and before you know it, something unfortunate happens, and you don't have the things in place to execute a plan. Another question is from Mark. How do you know if you are legally required to have a contingency plan? Is there I don't know if there's a illegal part of that. You know, it's probably one person we have not had on this program as a lawyer. But anyway.
They're depending on what your business falls under, what rules they fall under. As I said, OSHA does have a requirement mm-hmm. for a plan, Sarbanes-Oxley, HIPAA, many, depends on the business. I mean,
yeah.
It's always good business to have a plan, but, you know, in a general way, that's where to look. If you put your business into Google and say, you know, contingency plan, they may tell you.
Right.
If you're regulated.
Yeah. The big manufacturers, they obviously have contingency plans because the human asset is large and looming there for them.
Well, also because the Sarbanes, besides being good business, it's Sarbanes-Oxley requires that is a requirement, which is what the big boys have to deal with as public companies.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they don't want to report their taxes because they have these money they're spending on the contingency plans. Hey, but that's just me. We're ripping and roaring about the contingency planning, and I knew it would be like this. I want to talk for a few minutes before this is the fourth quarter, and the Giants are about to go for the winning touchdown again against the Patriots. Oh, did I just say that? Sorry. Seriously, I know you've been working on something. Do you want to talk about that real quick? Because as I kind of segue that in, see that insurance? See how that works here, Andy? We talked about it with Raquel last week with their OEM department, and there's a fair amount of retirement building, retirement communities, if you will, for lack of better terms, of about evacuating and a plan for the elderly. But here's the thing that you've tapped into, and I find it very interesting. A lot of people with their own regular medical practitioner, you know, do they have a plan? If they have a disaster and they're out of business and you need to see them, you have a health issue and you need prescriptions and so on and so forth. That's something you've been working on. I find it very interesting.
We found that when Irene hit Long Island, one of our friends, Rick Gimble, started to get a bunch of calls.
By the way, Rick Gimble was on the program, and he is the OEM director for the Township of Islip, and
yes.
Responsible for about 300,000 people.
Yes. And Rick mentioned to me he's getting calls from medical offices because their power was out. And it caused me to start doing some research. I knew that hospitals and nursing homes had to have a continuity plan because they house people. People, of course, who may not be able to leave the building or because they're bedridden.
Mm-hmm.
But I started to research HIPAA, and I found out, much to my surprise, that not only with the hospitals and nursing homes required to have it, but every medical office, dental office, chiropractor, podiatrist, physical therapy office is required to have a plan. And as I researched more into it, I realized through my background that not only do they need to plan, but part of a plan is an evacuation. And we have to take into consideration the ADA laws.
ADA is? American Disabilities Act.
Americans with Disability Act, because there are people in an emergency mm-hmm, mm-hmm. that may not be able to walk down steps, may need assistance.
Right.
That has to be taken into consideration.
Yeah. The OEM, we talked about it last week with Raquel. It's the OEM department has really morphed into a major player. It's no longer a guy who's doing it part time.
Right. And the problem is that OEM is life and safety.
Mm-hmm.
And in life and safety, in at least in long, most of the Long Island communities, you're probably looking at 15 to 20 minutes to get the emergency folks to physically respond to your building. You know, the fire department may get there quickly, but if they have to evacuate, it's going to take 15, 20 minutes from the time they get the call to the time they're there and capable of starting to pull people out. So you better have a plan, because unfortunately, if you don't have a plan, people may die.
Right.
And we don't want that to happen.
Right. Andy, we could obviously we could do another hour with these, and we have plenty of questions. We also did have not a last question, but one we can get to before we go off the show, off the air. Employees should be advised of what to do in an event. Yes, Lori, you know, an employer should tell you. Well, that's, for example, use New York City. There is a fire marshal on each floor. And also there are certain drillings. And I know our first responders are constantly doing that with the OEM departments and our first responders. So hats off to them. And as I go in, they're leaving and they're doing the real work. They are heroes along those lines. Yes, Andy.
May I just give a plug to my day job, which is president of HIPAA Continuity Planners, HIPAACP.com. Thank you.
We'll put that up on the website if we haven't already. And Arthur was in the first segment, the second segment of the program, about a link, legal issues and disasters, things you need to know. That's going to be up on our website momentarily. Again, it was an hour, but where to go, I have no idea. And Andy, you dominated this program. You took it. You're selfish. I don't know. Anyway, listen, there's one very serious. Andy, thank you very much for coming out.
Thank you, Chris.
And you are a huge consultant and helped me with many facets of this program, as well as being the president of the ACP of Long Island. My condolences, and from everybody here from the show, a local boy, a local man, a Marine, was killed in action from North Arlington. Again, my prayers go out to them, and this is just again, this solidifies what we need to bring these people home. This is 20 years old. Come on, give me a break. The guy's got, you know, he had a whole future ahead of him. Him and his brothers. Let's get him out of harm's way. It's end the war. God bless our country, and we'll see you next week. Take care of yourselves.